If you look at the market in the future, and that's what we show here, we are talking about a market potential by 2025 that we see in the range of $50 billion. So that means at least as large as the crop protection market today is. And how is this market going to be composed of? You'll see there on the chart there are some specialty traits that will be grown on a couple of thousand acres with significant value. However, the major portion actually will be mass trades, will be trades focusing on really the mass markets of hundreds of millions of acres. And you see there the traits of today like herbicide tolerance or pest resistance, but even more so, you see the traits of tomorrow, and the market of tomorrow will by far be dominated by the next generation of traits. First and foremost, this will be yield and yield-related traits as the major portion of the marketplace. If you have an attractive market like this, it's no wonder that a company like BASF, being entrenched in the agricultural market for decades, is really looking into what are the opportunities of this market. And that's why we have decided at the end of 1998-1999 to invest heavily in plant biotechnology, because we see this as complementary to our still growing and expanding crop protection business. What have we done? We have built a global network today of R&D sites, 8 locations on 2 continents, both in Europe as well as here in North America. We have at the moment about 700 colleagues, researchers involved in really most advanced and innovative technologies to develop what I call the next generation of plant biotechnology traits. We have invested in this research so far roughly 1 billion euro, which is in today's dollars terms about 1.5 billion US dollars investment in R&D. We have decided to focus our R&D effort in 3 different strategic areas. One we call superior agricultural productivity. Here we help the farmer, our customer, to increase yield, to improve efficiency of growing crops, and to protect his crops against pests and diseases, as well as from environmental challenges if you think about drought. The second area is the area of nutrition. Better, healthier nutrition both for us humans as well as for animals. Keep in mind, a significant portion of the crops grown today do not go directly into our diet, but through animals. So that's why it's worthwhile also look how to improve through plant biotechnology the area of feed. And the third sector is the area where you can use plants as renewable resources. So these are the different strategic areas. Now, what do we do in order to tackle these areas? And let me share with you our BASF's unique approach of gene discovery. We have built a unique technology platform that really allows us to find the genes that are essential for the products and the traits of the future. And take yield as an example. To increase yield, you need to look at the plant. You need to look at the phenotype, as we have indicated here, to see how the plant grows. When I introduce a new gene, what happens? Does it grow faster? Does it get more leaves, more biomass, and so on and so forth? So looking at the yield parameter, we have one of our group companies, which is called Crop Design, located in Ghent in Belgium. That's looking at the plant. Now, in order to understand really the function of the genes, you also need at the same time to look inside of the plant. Inside of the plant, that's what we call metabolic profiling. Really look at the metabolites and the pathways within the plants. Thousands of compounds that are created within a plant to really generate the metabolism and regulate the plant growth. This is what we do when we look inside at metanomics. Metanomics is another part of our platform located in Berlin in Germany. And there we are in a position, in a high throughput mode, really to look into thousands of metabolites that are generated and that change their their flux within a crop or within a plant. Both of these screens, whether it's the phenotypic screen at crop design or whether it's the metabolic profiling screen at metanomics, of course, are run at high throughput. So we look at hundreds of thousands of plants, we look at thousands of genes that need to be screened, and there's one clear focus. The clear focus is to understand the role, the function of a particular gene, and not just the sequence. Since we are here in a hotel in Washington, D.C., of course, I cannot run you through a lab. But what we try to do is show you a little bit what actually happens in this case in crop design when we do this phenotyping. This is a greenhouse where we have 100,000 plants with different genes. And they are handled fully automatically. They are watered. They are treated completely automatically. And they are screened completely automatically. This is a digital imaging system that allows us to take pictures of the plant and to see how the plant grows and develops. The same is true for the roots. So we get data both from growing the plant as well as from development of the roots. All of these data will be generated automatically and, of course, will be analyzed automatically through high-power computing systems because we are talking about millions and millions and millions of data points. Last but not least, we need to harvest, and then we really select and characterize the harvest to see what the seed looks like, how much seed do we get, and so on and so forth. So by doing this, we have a machine in place that allows us really in a high-throughput mode to screen for genes with unique properties relative to yield or to growth. Now, let me share with you some of our results on the next slide. So what you do see there is, for instance, you see plants that have a significantly higher seed yield, more kernels, in this case 50% more, or larger kernels, larger seed. There could be larger panicles, as you see them over there. Also, the root biomass could be significantly increased, as we have an example down here. Or, if you look at biomass in total, the example here shows that we have identified genes that allow us to do that. And we are not talking about few percent increase, as you usually do during breeding. But you see, this is a quantum leap change. We are talking about 10, 20, 30, maybe in some cases even up to 50% increase in a certain property due to a genetic effect that we have identified. Now, this is the science piece. Actually, what do we do with that? And then we need to look into our pipeline. This shows these three areas I alluded already to where we focus our projects on. And you see the different projects that we follow up in the different stages where they are from early gene discovery all the way to market introduction up to here. They range from herbicide tolerance to a increased amylopectin starch content. Both are projects that are relatively close to the marketplace. You also see projects that we are doing jointly with Monsanto, and we'll talk about that little bit later in a little more detail. Last but not least, I think very importantly, you see that these trades, these projects, generate a significant market value. Of course, this is dependent on the different trade, on the different market. So we are talking from ranges in the order of $100 million as market value of a trade, all the way to the range of billions. So these projects are not only a technological challenge, but of course they are attractive and provide significant value both to the farmer as well as, of course, to us. Now, let me share with you a couple of examples of different projects. This one here refers to drought tolerance to make sure that the yield of a crop is secured. We all know that there is drought tolerance in nature. Yeah? We know that there are plants growing near deserts or even in deserts, plants that can survive long periods of drought. Unfortunately, these plants usually are not crops. So the challenge for us is to identify what is the mechanism that allows plants to withstand drought, and is it possible by use of genetic modification to transfer these genes into the crops of today and provide drought tolerance to them. What you see here in our example is that we have identified genes of that kind in moss. Mosses, as you may imagine, also can withstand drought quite significantly. We have turned them into a plant. In this case, it's not a crop plant, but it's a model plant that we run in the lab. And the example here shows you the same plant, which is Arabidopsis, on one side with the drought tolerance gene, on the other hand without. What have we done? We have left the plant for about 2 weeks without water. After 2 weeks, we have added water again. Then the plant with the drought gene actually survived, continued to grow like normal, whereas, as you see on the right-hand side, the one without the gene, of course, didn't survive the drought. So from that point of view, we have a proof of concept. Now, of course, the challenge is to get this proof of concept into a crop of choice and make sure that it happens also, for instance, in corn. This is something that we are doing now jointly with Monsanto, and we have actually the first examples of this type in field trials now during the course of this season. My next example focuses on the area of nutrition. Better, healthier nutrition. You all know the story about eating fish because it's healthy, about fish oil. Maybe some of us of the older generation actually suffered from cod liver oil that you had to take as a baby. The reason is very simple. These so-called long-chain polyunsaturated fatty acids are absolutely essential for us humans. Now, we are not in a position to produce them ourselves, nor do the major oil plants produce them. That's why the fish have them from the algae, and through the fish oil, we actually get these, be it as eating fish or be it by taking fish capsules. Now, we all know that there is only a limited availability of fish and fish oil, so what's the option that we have? The option is using plant biotechnology and identify the genes essential for this, we call it PUFA synthesis, in an algae and transfer it into an oil crop, like rapeseed, canola, or similar crops. Now, it sounds simple, but of course it's a huge technological challenge. And I can tell you that so far we have been quite successful, both in the lab and the greenhouse. We have the first plants, which even have a level of one type of these polyunsaturated fatty acids that might be considered commercial. However, now we have to prove that this works in the field as well, and then we have a huge benefit because there's a nearly unlimited source of these polyunsaturated fatty acids growing in a very efficient way and, of course, very environmentally friendly. And the health benefit for all of us, protection against cardiovascular diseases, and even newest studies show that eventually it may help against Alzheimer's. So an interesting project that is not for the large-scale farmers, but that goes more in the area of specialty traits. Now let's focus on what I have indicated already, our collaboration with Monsanto. About a year ago, both companies decided to join forces in a very distinct area, in the development of the next generation of yield and stress-tolerant traits for four crops: corn, cotton, canola, and soybean. It's the biggest research and development effort that the industry has ever seen. We are envisaging in spending together $1.5 billion in investment in research and development of these products to make them market ready. As you see on the chart here, we have decided to continue to run our independent gene discovery programs, as I showed you, for instance, a few minutes ago. But then the results of these discovery programs go into a joint pipeline. We jointly develop the products all the way to the market and then enter the market through the existing three channels that Monsanto operates today: their own brand, their American seed brand, as well as many, many licensed seed companies. The agreement is that we share both the cost of this exercise 50-50, and then we share the benefit in a 60-40 range. And as you may imagine, this is quite an interesting exercise. So after 1 year, let's see where are we. First of all, We are really enthusiastic that we can reconfirm the targets, because we will be ready through combining our both existing pipelines to have already a first product launch after 2012. And this will be drought-tolerant corn. On top, we have recognized through now exchanging hundreds of genes that there is a great synergy that both companies have from their gene discovery programs, highly complementary approaches, because only about 10% of the genes that both companies developed independently overlap. So from that point of view, it's a great complementary approach that both companies are running. We have increased the size of the pipeline significantly, and we have already two projects advanced into the next stage. So from that point of view, we are really happy about the progress that we see here, and I'm referring here to this two projects that have been progressing into the next stage. You see on this slide a part of our joint pipeline. You see that we run several approaches on yield and stress tolerance. So for instance, the one on top is drought tolerance in corn, followed by nitrogen utilization in corn, followed by broad acre yield in corn, and then followed by soybean. So you see those are the most advanced projects that we run together at the moment, and you also see that these projects really represent a significant market value ranging from $300 to $500 million in some of the cases, all the way up to beyond $1 billion per year if we talk about broad acre yield. So this is a full pipeline of attractive products for the farmers tomorrow, tremendous benefits, and a significant value. Ladies and gentlemen, let me summarize, and let's focus again on innovation in agriculture. We at BASF Plant Science have today already the innovations of tomorrow, and we have them in our lab, in our greenhouse, and we have them also in the field. We are today developing a full pipeline of unique products based on plant biotechnology, and as I have told you, we are focusing on these three areas to increase and protect the farmer's yield through superior agricultural productivity, to provide better and healthier nutrition for both humans and animals, as well as to use plants as renewable raw materials with great environmental benefits. Innovations in plant biotechnology, ladies and gentlemen, and innovations in crop protection that we learned about earlier will long-term complement each other, and we will be sure that BASF has the best solutions that are possible for the farmers in our hands. Thank you very much.